If you're a photographer who likes deals on gear, products, and services that make doing business easier, you must grab a free Expo Plus Pass for Imaging USA. The free Expo Pass unlocks all the magic of the Imaging USA Expo, which features over 130 of the industry's leading brands showcasing their latest products. Touch, try, and buy at an incredible discount, and enjoy all the extra perks the pass offers, like the opening keynote session, networking avenue, and more. See why thousands of photographers return to the Expo year after year. Don't wait. Claim your free pass today at imagingusa.com. That's imagingusa.com. I'm Pat Miller, and this is the Professional Photographer Podcast. What if you could do exactly what you love to do, exactly for the people you want to do it for? And what if you didn't have to charge? You could start following your curiosity and get to the heart of your creative vision. And then it turns into a gigantic business on the back end. It sounds too good to be true, right? Doing exactly what you love, traveling the country and the world, creating art that you're on the planet to create. Ah, that'll never happen to me. Well, it'll never happen to you with that kind of attitude, and it will never happen to you unless you take the risk of trying. We get to hear a great story today. Jada and David Parrish are coming on the show to talk about their 100 set project. In the heart of the pandemic, they followed their curiosity, took on an impossible challenge, shared the whole thing on social media, and magic happened. You need to hear this story, and you need to hear their advice on how you can do it too. This is an episode you don't want to miss. Jada and David are standing by. We'll talk to them next. Jada and David, it's great to have you on the podcast. How are you today?
Great.
Happy to be here.
Very stoked to be here.
Yeah, I'm stoked to hear about the 100 set project. I know a little bit about it, but I can't wait to get behind the scenes. But I think everyone needs to know who you are and what you do. Let's start there. And then I want to get into how you got to where you are. But first, the straight intro. If we met you at a networking meeting, how would you introduce yourself?
Okay. Well, I would say I'm Jada.
And I'm David.
And we combine photography and set design to create surreal worlds and take very wild, loud, colorful photos inside of them.
And that's the truth. When we see your work online, it looks just from another planet. It is so cool. It's the 100 set project. I can't wait to hear how we got there. But go back to the wedding photography days. Tell us about how you got to this point and how you started the project, because I think your story will be relatable to a lot of people.
Yeah. So David and I, we had just started dating. I graduated college and I was studying photography in college, and getting a job was like a hard thing at that moment in life. And people just started to ask if I could take some family photos for them. And family photos starting to happen, which eventually led to someone asking, hey, can you photograph our wedding? And David and I, we had never done anything like that before. We only even had one camera at the time. But we were like, yes, sure, we got it. We'll do it. And so we shot that first wedding, got all the gear we needed, figured it out, and it went really well. And that wedding led to another wedding and another wedding. And it just, like, this whole wedding photography career just started to, like, unintentionally snowball to the point where we were photographing like 30 plus weddings a year. And we expanded to do not only photos, but videography and photo booths as well. So it was just this, like, we were all in. Everything wedding, like, it was everything to us.
And then 2020 happened. David, what happened then?
Yeah, so 2020 happened. And I just remember, like, looking at Jada and being like, do you think people are going to, like, start canceling weddings? Like, it's going to be like a thing. She's like, no way at all. And then next thing you know, like, emails start coming in, the phone starts ringing, and everybody's just like so stressed out, obviously, and like they don't know what to do. And the weddings just slowly started getting canceled and postponed, and all the big question marks of like, what are we gonna do? So it turned pretty dark for us personally, because we were on such a high with our business, and like we were, it was going to be the best year that we've had ever had, and we were so excited for it, and everything just changed pretty quickly.
And that happened to so many people, that we had a plan and then life happened and we had to go a different direction. And Jada, you shared that there was an added complication in 2020. Not only did the pandemic happen to you, but you had just signed a lease for a studio. Is that right?
Yeah, we had these two like small little studios right next to each other that we'd been using, and they were tiny, but they like met the purpose of what we needed. One was like our office and one was like our studio. But then this opportunity came up for this like big, beautiful photo studio. And David and I were like, yeah, let's do it. So we signed the lease and we officially moved into that studio in February of 2020. And then like literally a month later, it was very traumatic. And we were like even scared. The studio was like in a building with a bunch of other studios. So we were scared to like even go to the studio for a long time. So it truly sat completely empty for like several months.
And that's where I think it's super relatable. I think everyone that's been in business for the last 5 years will remember, what was it, June or July, maybe August of 2020, when we realized, oh boy, this is a career destiny changer of a situation. So you had this killer wedding business. Now you've got a killer expense every month. You've got no clients. So David, what did you do? How did you handle that? How did you act?
So, for the business, and luckily at that time I had bought this camera that called the Matterport 3D camera, with like 3D scans of homes and stuff. And that happened to be online, and out of nowhere, like a bunch of like of realtors and stuff started contacting me to like use this camera to create tours for people to see their spaces. So financially, that was like the saving grace for us. We were like, okay, this is going to keep us going. So at the same time, we were trying to figure out what to do with our career. And we kind of both wanted to explore something new and use this as an opportunity to explore something new. And I looked at Jada and I was like, maybe you could focus on like learning how to pose really well, and I could focus on maybe how to studio light really well, and we can kind of take this time to practice and make a new skill for ourselves.
Yeah. And like, just like to rewind even a little bit. Uh-huh. So literally right before COVID happened, we went to WPPI, and that year it was like at the very end of February, beginning of March. Wow. And while we were there, I saw Lindsay Adler's posing book and picked that up. And I was like, oh, I've never like messed around with much studio work. Like, let's explore this. And David got Chris Knight's lighting book, The Dramatic Portrait, and was like, studio lighting would be fun to explore. So we had those like two books like sitting on our shelf at home, and they kind of became like the inspiration as we started to move into the studio work.
Now, taking that time as a study hall, looking back on it, was brilliant and inspired, and you two must be geniuses. But at the time, the rest of us were sitting on the couch watching Netflix, waiting for the next episode of Ted Lasso. Like, we were just kind of, you know, taking it as downtime and feeling miserable about ourselves. Is that in your nature? Like, did that come to you naturally to think, wait, we have downtime, let's get better? Or was this a unique, new kind of, or uncommon thing for you two to take on at that time?
I think that I always like to like learn new things and put my energy somewhere. And I think at first we were doing that. We were sitting on our back deck, drinking glasses of wine, trying different rosés out. It's like, we're going better. You know, like that kind of started happening. But I think just by my nature, I need to like learn and discover and keep pushing myself. So I let myself feel that situation happen, like of me, like, what now? Should we just sit? Should we do nothing? And then it did move into like this thought, like, we got to do something. We have this studio, like we can go to the studio. What are we doing? Type of thing. Mm-hmm.
There was definitely like a period of depression. But I think that also like our hobby together, like, is working together and creating together. Yeah. So it's like, it is work, but it's like how we connect at the same time. So I think no matter what we're doing, like even when we go on a vacation, like there's always a photo shoot that ends up happening. It's just a part of us. Yeah.
It's just who we are. And I can totally respect that. So Jada, you're working on posing. David, you're working on lighting. But I'm still missing something, because when I look at your work now, if I only had one word to describe it, it would be color. Where did color come from, and how did you start playing with color? And is that what led to the 100 sets?
So I guess if you were to go all the way back to our wedding photos, we have always been very colorful photographers. Boost saturation, lots of contrast. Like that's like who we are as photographers in general. And so when we ended up in the studio, we ended up on Savage's website to go through paper backdrops, and we just went straight for the brightest colors. And that's where we started, was with the paper backdrops. And we really did get the brightest colors.
We wanted this like baby blue one, yeah. Like healing blue and like light pink, yeah. And had a lot of fun with those. And we started doing shoots just on those paper backdrops, like these kind of like, I was very much influenced by Lynn Gatler's book. So the photos that we started to do were kind of like playful, fun, like it was summertime. So they're very playful, fun, colorful, like fashion photo shoots, just on those backdrops. And then what like really brought the color in though, big time, was when David had the idea to start building sets for the photos. And that allowed us then to like, then we could go to the paint store and pick any color we wanted. And that alone just like was mind blowing for me, being able to choose the wildest, most loud colors we could find.
Yeah. Let's dig into that, David. So you have this inspired idea to build sets. Where did it come from? Do you remember the moment where you thought, I know what we could do, and what the first set was?
When I was in high school, I did theater. I was really, really into theater. I spent like my whole high school doing it. And I spent as much time out of classroom in the theater building stuff. So I would always get math class. Oh, there's nothing going on. I'm in the theater.
I can attribute to that because we went to high school together and I also did theater, but like I was on the acting side of it and he was right. On the stage side. Man, was he serious. Yeah. He was like so laser focused when he was doing theater.
Yeah, I really loved it. I probably should have gone that route.
But. Well, and it's true that you're the set guy, because high school theater, you're always wearing a black t-shirt. You still have a black t-shirt on today. So it's really,
Yep.
All right. You're high school theater, you're building sets, and?
So we were doing the paper backdrops and the pictures were cool, but I had this thought of like, I wonder what would happen if we were to shoot into a corner of a room. And it kind of turned into a little bit of a debate between Jada and I, because Jada was like, you don't see anybody shooting in the corners of rooms. It's always flat. You don't want shadow, all that stuff. So we got in a bit of a little debate on whether or not that was a good idea or not. But I was like, let me just try. I know how to build these walls, which are called Hollywood flats in the theater world. And so let me just build these walls and we can paint them and we can try to do a photo shoot. Basically, I remember our first one, it was a grapefruit shoot, right?
Yeah, it honestly kind of looked like what's behind us right now. It was like a corner of a room dressed like this. Uh-huh. And I think it was painted actually the same color.
Oh, that's funny.
And the girl was wearing like a navy blue dress that had these like corally colored grapefruits on it. Mm-hmm. And so we color match the orangey pink color to the grapefruit per dress to like tie it together.
And it was just a corner of a room. And it just looked to me like, I was like, wow, like really, really, really cool.
Yeah. At that point, I was like, okay, you're way right on
that. It was a really cool shoot. And then my imagination at that moment just took off, because I'm like, if I can build just a corner of a room, like what else can I build?
Mm-hmm. And matching the outfits and using shadow and not shooting flat like everybody else does, you were creative play, right? You were trying something new because of the time that you had available. Do you think you would have gone down this road if you had a busy wedding calendar?
So it's interesting, because when did it start?
Like when did we start?
Yeah, when was that first shoot?
That shoot?
Yeah.
That was like July of 2020.
Yeah. And then, so yeah, I think so. To answer your question, I think so, because if you go forward in the timeline, are the weddings starting back up again? And we continue to do this creative play, like, consistently through that. So I do think, I don't know if we would ever have gotten into this, if 2020 didn't happen, I don't think we would ever started it, I don't think. But we would.
I think we would have stopped doing weddings.
Yeah.
Somehow. I think photography, we were getting burnt out.
Yeah.
Because like at that, I mean, it had been, at that point, it had been like 7 years of like 30 plus weddings a year.
Yeah.
Like no weekends ever. It was very intense. And I think that there really is a limit to like how many weddings you can shoot before you get jaded by that experience. And it like, it had hit a point for me where like the bride and groom would walk up the aisle and like, I completely would forget like, oh my gosh, this is the most magical moment. I would go into logistic mode. Okay. Now I need to get them here. I need to line up the people for family photos. Like you just, that like emotional aspect, I think that you need to be like a good wedding photographer. Like it was out the window for me. I was completely burnt out by it. And so I think it might have taken us a little longer to get out of it.
Yeah.
But
I think you're right, because even us picking up those books before any of this happened, there was like some intention, like we need to figure something else.
There was some desire.
There was desire. Yeah. So I think no matter what, something new would have happened in our life, but it definitely was an accelerator.
I'm going to butcher the quote, but luck is where opportunity and preparation meet. Is that it? It's something like that. I mean, it sounds like you had the opportunity and you were ready to go not only creatively play, but because you were good at what you did, the image turned out. If you weren't good at doing what you're doing, the corner would have looked terrible. I mean, do you realize how ready you were for all of these planets to align?
I hadn't thought of that either. Yeah.
It's pretty incredible. All right. So let's get into the 100 Sets project. So thank you for the backstory. It's important that I think everybody hear that, because a lot of us went through that time and really wondered what was next, and you discovered what was next, and now it's your thing, and it's really cool. So you did the first set, then the 100 Sets project comes. How did you go from there to there, and what is the 100 Sets project?
So we ended up doing a couple more before the 100 Set project, and then it was going into a new year. And I'm like really big on starting the first day of a new year with like my intentions of what I want the rest of the year to be about. So I think it was, I guess I had that idea. I was like, let's on January 1st do one of these sets and we'll do 100 of them in 2021. And that was the goal. And Jada was like, okay, let's do it.
No idea why 100, yeah. But numbering that throughout. I was like, okay. So we committed, made that decision to do that. And we decided that January 1st, 2021 was going to be the first shoot. And my sister was supposed to be the model for that shoot, but she got COVID, so she couldn't do it. And it was like a really big, like it would have been really easy for us to just like be like, oh, forget it. This is a bad idea. Like we'll start it later or something. But we decided just to do it anyways. And I was actually the model in that first shoot and David photographed it. And then from there, we just kind of kept building on it.
And at first we were spending a lot of time on the builds. Mm-hmm. And we would try to do one a week, one every 2 weeks. But our minds weren't really like, oh, shoot, like to do 100 in a year, you kind of have to do more than just like one every 2 weeks.
We didn't realize that till like March. And so it like hit us, all of us. Like we were just having fun doing it. We were really all in with it, but we were just having a good time, like being very thoughtful and meticulous. And like some of the first sheets, like one of them was beautiful. David built this like entire like blue bedroom set with all these like wonky angles and curves. It's so cool. But yeah, we realized in March that there was no way we were going to hit our 100 set goal if we kept going at that pace. So then we had to like ramp things up a lot. And we started doing like 3 to 4 shoots a week sometimes.
Wow.
To catch up.
It was a thing.
All right. I want to get back to the production schedule in a second, but I can't help but point out it's really beautiful that you were the first talent, because back in the day you were on the stage and David was building the sets. So that's kind of cool, actually. So very poignant. There's one other structural thing before we get back to the production schedule. Structural thing. You could charge $1 zillion for these sets. These photos are gorgeous, but you didn't take payments. What? Why? What was the decision there? We're going to work like crazy and do essentially two of these a week for a year, but you weren't charging. Is that right?
Yeah. So that
what?
With the weddings, it was all about, it was like a very much a service-based business. And like, it was all about pleasing the client. And the way our wedding business started, it was so unintentional. Like the clients just started to come. And I know that was like not a circumstance that a lot of wedding photographers have, but we were just very fortunate.
We were in the right place at the right time.
Yeah. And so our wedding business took on place so quickly, and we didn't ever really have time to like think about like what kind of photographers do we want to be? What kind of photos do we want to be taking? It just became such a like meeting the client's needs, figuring out who our client was and like what services and what can we do to please them. And so after 7 years of that, we were like kind of sick, and it just kind of like hit us like, what do we even want to take pictures of? Like, who are we as photographers and artists? And I don't think we knew the answer to that at all at the time. So we made the goal of this 100 set project and set the intention that this was like just for us. This was for us to discover our creativity again, to push our boundaries, just to see what came out of us without any rules, because we were so surprised by what we were making that we just kind of needed to see what it was, because we didn't understand it.
Yeah. And that's so great. When you get to that true creativity and that real inspiration point, that's where you can find your voice, like you say. So let's get back to the production schedule. It's May, and you realize we're not going to make it at this point. So now you have to go fast and break things. David, did that help that you could go fast and break things, that you got to really step on it, and the production pace, did that aid the creativity?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm a procrastinator, but I think I'm a procrastinator, and I work better under pressure. So like, give me 4 weeks to do something, I'll wait till the week it's due, and I'll
yep.
So like having like that every like 2 to 3 times a week, I had to wake up in the morning. We come up with like a concept. We go to the paint store, we find an outfit, then we put everything together and have a shoot at night. Like doing that, I was so happy. And it made some of our best work were the days when we walked in with no ideas and just created something in a single day. And yeah, so I am a procrastinator, and I work well with parameters. And so that situation made the perfect little stew for me to work within.
How long did it take for Home Depot and the paint stores to wonder if you guys needed a part-time job or something? I can't imagine how many trips you made.
It's funny that the people at the paint store, they all follow us. Started following us.
We're celebrities at the paint store.
We are.
I got to say, they know
we're up to.
Yeah,
so.
And they're always excited when we come in with what color we're going to get them to mix up.
I can't help it. The conversation of not charging and how beautifully distinct your work is. Are you now sponsored by Sherwin-Williams or Bear Paint? Like, you do have an endorsement at this point, don't you?
Not for, that's like a dream that be.
I've hit Sherwin-Williams up so many times, and they've responded. I sent emails, but never heard anything past that. So they are missing out.
But yeah, okay. We are a big Sherwin-Williams fans.
We are all over the YouTube Sherwin-Williams, and we know that you're reading this and hearing this. So we need to hook these two up. They're making your paint look the best out of anywhere on the planet. You got to see their website. Okay, blatant plug. All right. So you're living in a paint store. You're now double timing to try and get 100 sets done in a year. Did you make it?
We made it, but which is great news. But we were exhausted because our weddings did start back up. So we were working weddings. Family photos started coming. Did family photos as well. They started happening again. We were doing 2 to 3 shoots a week. It was
our calendar in 2021 was like insane.
I recently looked back at it. It was just full of color. You know, like all the squares of things that we were doing. But yeah, we made it. And did we make it on the last day of the year?
Yeah, we did the last year. The last year was with me and David. Yeah. And it was December 31st, 2021.
Amazing. So you get done. And David, you say that you're big about New Year's resolutions.
Yeah.
So what did you decide to do when the challenge was over?
See,
we honestly, like, we were kind of grieved a little bit. Like, it was like we had so much focus and so much purpose throughout this project where, like, it wasn't, we weren't thinking in the future so much of, like, what are we going to do with all this work? The goal was just make the work. And so then when we finished it, it was kind of like, one, we're sad that we didn't have the same level of, like, purpose that we had with these shoots because they had become such a, like, they're so fun for us.
Yeah.
And we really weren't sure. So it honestly took us, like, a couple months of, like...
I think, yeah, I can't, to answer your question, I can't remember what we did on that.
That New Year?
I should look back at my journal and see. So, but I
think that's why that you're able
I think in my head, for whatever reason, I was like, we'll hold off, like, taking this work. And then once we're finished this goal, then it's going to be a snowball effect. And people are just going to be hiring us like crazy. We're going to be traveling the world making this art. And it's going to happen immediately. And that's not, like, what happened whatsoever. And so, like, what Jada was saying, I think we got such a high from doing that whole project. And then I think it did go into a period of grieving of, like, what do we do next? Like, what's next for this project? Why aren't people hiring us? Like, it was complicated. And confusing.
Yeah. And at that point we had, like, we announced in 2020 that we were going to stop taking weddings, and all of our bookings lasted pretty much through 2021 into the beginning of 2022. So we had to finish all those out. But then, like, after, like, maybe March of 2022, that was, like, it for our wedding business, too. So it was, like, two big things in our life, like, kind of closed and ended at the same time. And we were like, okay, now what?
Yeah. And it's mid-January. You're sitting there. Your weddings are winding down. The 100-set project is over. How did you turn this into a business? When did the phone start ringing? And how did that, how did you navigate this to where you are now?
It was a journey, honestly. I think that the first, like, exciting thing that happened was I submitted our photos from the 100 Step Project to a photo contest, the Abbey Road Music Photography Awards. And one of our favorite photographers, who also was, like, a huge influence of the work that we made during the 100 Step Project, was one of the judges for it. And we got shortlisted for it, and they had, like, we were one of the finalists for it, and we got to go to Abbey Road for this, like, big award ceremony, and got to meet the photographer, was Rankin, and, like, it was like very surreal and very cool. And we were like, well, that's nuts. So those photos that we took just for fun, like, landed us in this moment. And so then that really sent me down a road of, like, where else can I submit our photos to? So we did a lot of photo contests, submitted to a lot of art galleries, just really started to get our work out there as much as we could. And then really ramped up our social media, because we've been sharing, like, the behind the scenes and stuff as we were doing the 100 Step Project, but we had so much content that we had captured that we never really did anything with. So then we kind of went into, like, editing and marketing phase of just how can we get more people to see what we're doing. And that eventually led to us starting to attract some clients who really aligned with what we were doing. And our first big gig was we did an album cover for Olivia Jean. She's an artist signed under Third Man Records. But that was like such a surreal thing, because it was the first time we really got hired just for this new work. Mm-hmm. And the poses that she wanted to do and all of it. She wanted, like, the weird poses. She wanted to be upside down. She wanted to be, like, splatted out on the ground. And that just really blew my mind that, like, all that play and just randomness we did actually attracted, like, ideal client.
Yeah, it's interesting. the same way that I put kind of like, we're not taking money during this project, I kind of put rules on like who I would work for in a way. I didn't want to like take this art and just shift it to get a client. I wanted to create art and find the clients that wanted this art, which was a lot harder than just like kind of shifting, emerging to what you wanted, what other people want. And so we created this niche thing. So we had to create a social outlet that like helped us find the clients that appreciate what we do.
Because we're not in like a big city either, where there are like tons of people who had like large budgets to pay for this work. We live in Richmond, Virginia, which is like a pretty small city. And so social media really became like our big outlet of like having so many other people all over the place see what we're doing. And it ended up like most of our clients, there's really nobody who books us in Richmond. Like we're always traveling other places for these photo shoots for our clients.
It is, I think, the most Instagrammable work in the world. Like the work is so unique and so cool and so distinct. I would imagine that your Instagram grew to 11 billion people over the pandemic.
It grew. There's a story there too. So it was. We've always loved Instagram. Even like when our wedding photography, like Instagram was a very important part of it. But during the 100 Set project, we were like growing our Instagram account. We were about to hit 15,000 followers. And then we woke up one morning and it was gone. Like removed, taken down, account did not exist anymore. And it was pretty heartbreaking.
Yeah, because that was a place where we were connecting with people. Like we put model calls out. We were growing a community of people that wanted to be involved with it. People from afar and everything. So it was a big loss right in the middle of the project.
They were like our encouragement that like kept us going when it got hard. It was like all these nice comments and messages that people would send. And so it got removed and we waited like a month, like kept appealing it, kept thinking like it's going to come back. Never did. But then in the middle of the 100th project, we had to start a new Instagram account, which is the one we have now. And, build it back up, but it grew so much faster than the other one ever did. Yes. So
very cool. All right, let's go back to the first gig. You shoot the musician and it goes well. They were happy with what you ended up doing. Were you happy with the work the first time you took money for doing something that you were doing for fun?
Yeah, it was incredible. And there were so many like challenges because it had to travel from where we are in Virginia to Nashville. It was just so much fun. It was like every single thing that we had been, I guess, rehearsing and practicing, like came together. And it was, in my opinion, flawless. And then to see it as like a printed album cover, I mean, can't beat that. It was an amazing feeling. And
it was surreal. Then we went to the album release show and it was just so cool to see like everyone was like holding up the album and it was on the photos were on bags and stickers and all this merch. And then, it was
sick.
It was really cool.
You know what's so cool? I just got to say, doing this show, I've had a chance to talk to a lot of the big time photographers like you, but some of the big time photographers like, I won the world thing and I did the thing and did the thing. And you guys were like, we did the thing and it was awesome. And it's like so beautiful to see someone so happy with their gift. I love that. So please never change. It's awesome. All right. So you do that and business starts to come. Like how did the momentum build to where you are now?
It was slow still. Like
it was a slow burn.
There was all these moments where I thought that it was going to be like, this is it. This now it's going to take off because our previous business, that's what it was. It was, we got a wedding, we got another wedding. It just kept growing really fast. And I was expecting the same speed with this new concept. And unfortunately, that wasn't the truth behind it. It was lots of successes, then like a little bit of like, okay, what's happening next, and then a success again. So a completely different pattern. And I'm not sure if it's because we picked kind of a nichier thing or we weren't serving our direct community around us. But it definitely was a bit of a lull again, and we just kind of went back and focused on building the structure and the foundation of the business on how we wanted it to be.
I this whole new business has been so much more intentional than our last one was. Like we've approached it at like a much steadier pace in terms of like, we're very specific about the clients that we want to attract. We want creative clients. We want musicians. We want fashion designers. We want creative brands. We don't necessarily want to be serving the people within our community on like a more personal level. It's definitely more commercial work. And so we've been very intentional about that. And also through just, I feel like creative careers are never a straight line. You have to be very creative about the way you approach a creative career. So throughout this whole process, we've been kind of like trying to find all of these different opportunities within it. And something that has been a surprise to me and something that we never really expected was the behind the scenes content that we capture through doing these photo shoots. I never realized how valuable content like that is for brands and people who need some social advertising. And so that has been like a really useful tool within our business. Even when we are working on a client project, there's still like another opportunity to pull in revenue from all of these other different directions that all kind of come together.
I would be committing podcast malpractice if we didn't go down the road of asking about, okay, what did you learn about launching a personal project? And I want to learn how someone else might be able to do what you did, but I want to share one last observation and get your feedback on it.
Okay.
I don't think your project would have worked had you compromised. The fact that you were going to shoot these people in this way and not anyone else, I don't think it would have worked. Because if you took a job for Staples,
yeah,
wouldn't that have killed the whole thing if you had compromised your intentionality?
I think so.
I think so too. And so I kind of have two responses. First off, my dad is an art director. He's in the ad world. That's the type of work that he makes. And I think it's really cool. And I'm like proud of everything that he makes, but it's not really my cup of tea in a way. I like making images that can be hung on the wall and people look at and steal something from. And that's really what excites me. I think I could have done a really good job at doing something for Staples, but I don't think that would be my soul. And so like what we have done and the rules and guidelines that we have created has been more to feed my soul. But I think by doing that, it's helping inspire and motivate other people to create art in that way.
Yeah, I think that this business, While our wedding photography business was primarily like service based first and like art second, this business is we are artists first. And if that also meets someone's need, then like that's a beautiful juxtaposition there. But it's served us really well now because when people do come to us, like if someone inquires with us, like it gets booked every time because when people see our work and that's what they want, we are the people that do that work. Like you're not going to find other people doing our style. Like it's ours. And so it's really helped us like attract clients who like align with our vision, align with our values, but also has given us like more creative freedom, I think, than if we were to have presented ourselves more so as photographers needing a service, because clients, even that first job that we booked, our contract for that was a little bit different than their standard photography contract because they viewed us as artists and they gave us a certain amount of creative liberties and freedom and rights to things that I don't think that they would have a traditional photographer. And ever since, all of our contracts have always been we have so much creative freedom. And that is, I think, no matter who the client is or how big the client ever is, that always has to be like at the center of it, because it's so disappointing to work really hard on something and then look at it and think like, I don't like it. Like that's not what I wanted that to be. And this work just feels too close to us, I think, to allow that to happen.
Yeah, David. You get to be so picky because you're successful. No, we're successful because we're so picky. That's accurate, yes?
Yeah.
Perfect. With that as a backdrop, let's get to how we can help someone else launch a personal project. So if someone's thinking, I have a vision, I have a dream, there's something I want to do, Jada, coach them up. Where should they start? How should they formulate their thoughts around doing something like you did?
I would say at first, don't think about it too much. Just if we're speaking to photographers, just like pick up your camera and start shooting. Just start shooting whatever. And I think that pretty quickly you'll get a sense of something that maybe you're a little bit more interested in than something else. And then within that, kind of just beat it to death. Like, so if you're into portraits, like, or headshots, if you're into headshots, give yourself some really tight parameters of like the format that the headshot has to be, and just start to have so many different people come in, start to play, but it all has to be within these very distinct parameters. And how can you make each shot be different? How can you change up the lighting? How can you change up the pose? How can you change the energy? How can you do all of these things to create so much variation within these tight parameters? So I guess parameters, set your parameters, define your parameters is the most important part to starting a project, I think.
And it maybe rewind just a little bit. I think something that really helped both of us was to feed our mind with this so much inspiration, and not in the sense of inspiration of looking at other people that are doing the same thing, but inspiration all over the place, like architecture, paintings, movies, all those type of things, and just fill your mind with so much visual influence that, like, when you close your mind, your eyes at night, you can see these images, and that will help kind of create a world that you can then create the parameters to start overshooting.
Yeah. And I think that once you have the inspiration, you define your parameters, come up with some sort of, you have this much time to do it, this much money to do it, like some sort of deadline for yourself, I think is important. And I also believe it's important to share publicly. Like if you are going to set out on some sort of creative project, like sharing it and getting other people involved with it, I think is what ultimately made David and I actually do it. Because like we would, every month we would pull up the calendar and we would be like, okay, so we need to do 3 shoots a week every week this month to stay on course and meet the goal. So we would plan it, we'd book, I call them models, but they're just people on Instagram who like reply to wanting to model in our photo shoots. So they would like, we'd write them down that we had them booked to model that day. And then once we knew we had someone else involved and someone else had like committed their time to doing this project with us, it really made us be much more accountable. And no matter how uninspired we were feeling that day or how tired we were, it was kind of this like, someone else is showing up for us, so we have to like figure this out and show up for them. And that, I think, really is what got us through.
We've declared our parameters. We've shared it with the world. We've gamified it, so we know we need to do X by Y or whatever your constrictions are going to be. Does this personal project need to be something that totally changes their studio like it did for you? Or can it be kind of a side quest just to fuel their creativity?
I think it's a side quest. I think it's important to have side quests too. And I think it can take over your studio if it takes over your life. But it also can just add to what you're already doing. And it can just be an exercise to help you be more creative or be able to tap into creativity quicker.
Yeah. And I think too, like, if you're into one type of photography, it might be like a nice challenge to make your project be about a different type of photography. Like that's kind of what we unintentionally did, where we were mostly doing like event photography outdoors. And we were like, okay, let's try the studio thing. And that opened up this whole new context. But like, I think, and we mostly do people, but like what an interesting next project, it would be for us to only do products. Like, what would that look like? Like, I think that kind of gets you out of your head a little bit and takes you away from, like, I don't know, sometimes just like as a photographer, I can get in my head sometimes thinking I always need to take a good picture. And sometimes when you're doing something different, I think that pressure kind of releases itself because you're like, oh, I'm trying something new. This is just an experiment. Yep. Like, it doesn't have to be perfect. Like, I'm just trying. And that gives you a little bit more freedom.
I'm not sure if there's a Brinks truck big enough to hold all the money you two would make if you started doing product photography. I can't imagine the product photography money that would rain down on you like a thunderstorm if you decided to do that. But that's a side quest we're not going to go into. I want to get after the person that's watching this, that loves your work, that is so inspired right now, and they need a nudge. How are they feeling? Like, the right person to go on one of these side quests, what is in their heart right now, and what would you tell them to jump?
I would say that if you are feeling burnt out, if you are feeling uninspired by whatever you're shooting right now, or just like bored in general, like, if that means you should do a jump, like try something new, explore, experiment, because that means that you've gotten way too comfortable with whatever you're doing. It's no longer a challenge for you. I'm not saying you haven't mastered, but like that level of like problem solving and excitement is gone from that. So it's time to expand a little bit, widen the net, and just try something new. And what's so cool is like sometimes just trying the new thing makes what you already do feel fun again, because you learn something else through doing that, that then you can take to what you already do, and it kind of makes it exciting again.
It's within these projects, sometimes on YouTube, I give Jada a camera, we call it Jada Camera Challenge. And it's like an oddball camera. And we just get a model and we go somewhere, we don't use a set or anything. We just go somewhere random. And Jada's photo shoots with them. And one of them was a Polaroid camera. And during that shoot, you know, the pictures were okay. They're cool. They're nothing that would stand out really big on the internet or for clients. I don't know what it would create. But that's to say, she ended up laying on her back taking pictures with this Polaroid camera and got this crazy angle. And by her just playing outside of what we normally do, she found a new way to shoot and she brought it into our sets. And then that changed our voice and our sets from that point forward. So just by like creatively playing, even if it's just for a day, trying a new camera out, you will probably learn something that you can add into your normal work. But doing a personal project, like that just like amplifies it, because now you have the parameters, you've gamified it, like you said, and now it's like this whole process that is living alongside your career.
Yeah, it's true. And you just have to challenge yourself, like just challenge yourself. Even within our sets, like we primarily build everything out of plywood and paint, but every now and then it's like, okay, what's a color that you hate? Let's use that color, that awful color that you hate. How can you make it like something interesting? Or like, what if you do it out of fabric? What does that look like? It's not necessarily to produce like the greatest photos ever, but it's just to challenge you, make you think of things in a new way. And oftentimes like a bad photo eventually leads to a good photo because it sparks a different way of doing it or a new thought. So just don't be scared to take a bad photo. I guess that's like a really important thing.
Just get started. If somebody's hesitant, just try something. Then who cares? Like, especially if you don't have a client attached to it, like it just doesn't matter if it's awful. Like, and it's not going to be awful because you've taken away any anxiety or stress. It's just fun. You're just playing.
I could talk to you two all day. I love this interview. Thank you so much for the inspiration. And Jada and David, thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Pat.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Professional Photographer Podcast. Raise your hand if you're inspired. Before you go start your own side quest, make sure you leave us a like and subscribe and leave us a comment. Tell Jada and David what you loved about the episode. I know they'll be watching, and we're watching too to make sure that we're delivering you the good stuff here on the show. The other thing is, you should be considering Professional Photographers of America. If you're not yet a member, you are truly missing out. PPA offers incredible resources like equipment insurance, top-notch education, and a supportive community of photographers ready to help you succeed. It's perfect for photographers who are serious about growing their business in a sustainable and profitable way. At PPA, you belong here. Discover more about membership at ppa.com. That's ppa.com. I'm Pat Miller, founder of the Small Business Owners Community, publisher of the Small Business Summary Newsletter, and the creator of a brand new side quest. I don't know what it's going to be, but I'm going to go do it. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you right here next time.